From time to time in our human relationships, we may say something or do something that makes a person angry with us. Due to lack of understanding or due to lack of knowledge on our part, we may ask concerning that situation, "What have I done wrong?" That question may be termed, "What did I do? What did I say? What upset you?" Have you ever wondered if you've done the same thing in your relationship with God? Have you ever wondered if you've said or done something that would make God angry? Would you want to know if you have made God angry with you? I thought about that, and I think I would. Here's my thinking. It goes like this. If God has buttons that I do not need to push, and I can know what those buttons are, then I can try my very best not to push those buttons. This stems from knowing that God does get angry. Furthermore, that God will punish the guilty evildoer. The Bible has a lot to say about the wrath of God. Nahum chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 read, "A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is His way, and clouds are the dust beneath His feet." There are a few things established here in Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 that set the context for all of that which we will discuss this morning. First of all, that God is a jealous, avenging, and wrathful God. Yes, He is a loving God, but He is also a jealous, avenging, and wrathful God. And we need to take note of it. Secondly, that God is slow to anger. He is long-suffering with evildoers. He is long-suffering toward all of us, but He does get angry. Third, that His anger is against those who are guilty. We're asking the question today, basically, guilty of what? If God gets angry with someone, what does He get angry with them about? What does He get angry over? The fourth truth in Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 is that the Lord is great in power. Power that can be witnessed when His wrath is revealed. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 31 declares, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9 affirms that the wrath of God is not for the children of God. As Paul wrote there, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." Yes, God gets angry. God pours out His wrath upon the guilty. But God also provides a way of escape. And that way of escape is through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're asking the question this morning, well, what makes God angry? What will bring the wrath of God upon His creatures created in His image? You might want to camp out in Romans chapter 1. That is our text for today. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20 reveals that God gets angry when His evident truths are ignored. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." As we consider this truth, that God gets angry when His evident truths are ignored, we might consider the truth that this really encompasses all of disobedience, all rebellion against God, as well as all sin. Romans 1 verse 20 proclaims that the man who has never heard about God already has some understanding of the existence of God. For the fact of God's existence can be understood through the existence of the visible creation. There's a play on words here, and I imagine that you, as acute as you are, recognize that play on words. The invisible, the unseen, has been clearly seen. So how then does one see the unseen, the invisible? It's simply by recognizing the marks it leaves on the visible realm. God has shown us who He is and what He is about by the very things that He has created in which we see in this world. Paul says that this evidence is clearly seen. It isn't something that is evidence that has been hidden from man, nor is it something that God has created and then blinded man so that man could not see the evidence. He has seen the evidence, and He has seen it clearly. And then, having seen all that God has created, seeing the evidence God has left of Himself, man rejects the evidence. Man has chosen to ignore it and has sought to find some other scientific rationale for the universe. Man willfully refuses to see that which God has shown of Himself to us. However, one can never say that God did not make Himself known to us, because the very world in which we live and exist is a silent testimony to the power and the goodness of God. But numerous are the Bible passages that relate to the anger or wrath of God being poured out because of this disobedience, this rebellion and sin. Difficult passage to study is Numbers chapter 22. Verse number 22, God became angry with Balaam when he chose to go meet with Balak, even after the Lord had granted him the option to choose between going to meet with Balak or not. Rebellion of Israel was the topic of the day in Deuteronomy chapter 9, when Israel was told by God in Deuteronomy 9 verses 6 through 8, "Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Remember, you do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Even at Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that He would have destroyed you." The Lord was angry with the people because they complained, because they were rebellious, and because they provoked within Him His righteous anger. We go to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, and there we find the disobedience of one named Uzzah as he reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse number 7 says that God struck Uzzah down because of irreverence, a word meaning error or fault. It was error, it was fault on the part of Uzzah that he reached out to touch the ark. 1 Chronicles chapter 13 reveals the same story there in verse number 10. He relates that God struck down Uzzah because he put out his hand to touch the ark, provoking the wrath of God. The sins of Jeroboam provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 30. When the people of Israel disobeyed God and married women that followed after pagan gods and were thus led away by them to be unfaithful to God, Ezra instructed the people to be reconciled to God. And when the people were in agreement with what Ezra had instructed them to do, they said in part, "Let our leaders represent the whole assembly, and let all of that those that are in our cities who have married foreign wives come at appointed times together with the elders and judges of each city until the fierce anger of God on account of this matter is turned away from us. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 14. God told Israel not to go down to Egypt, admonishing them to remain in Judah and live, warning them that if they did retire to Egypt, they would die. Jeremiah chapter 42 and verse number 18. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and wrath have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you enter into Egypt, as you will become a curse and an object of horror and imprecation and reproach. You will see this place no more. God's wrath is poured out on man because of man's choice to disobey. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 31. Thus I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Their way I have brought upon their heads. Ezekiel 25, verses 12 through 14, pronounce judgment on Edom for avenging themselves against the people of God. There God said, I will lay my vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel. Therefore they will act in Edom according to my anger and according to my wrath. Thus they will know my vengeance, declares the Lord. God was not happy with Edom because they chose to avenge themselves when Jonah did preach in Nineveh. The people repented, Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 5. The rulers of the people of Nineveh also repented of their evil ways and of their violence. Jonah chapter 3 verses 6 through 9. But the inquest was touted there in verse number 9. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw His burning anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10 is the good news for us today as it was for the people of Nineveh in Jonah's time. Verse 10 says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which He declared He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. God gets angry when we disobey Him, when we ignore His eternal and evident truths. But God is willing to relent. God is willing to relent of the punishment which He says He will give upon those evildoers if we will but turn to Him. Lest we somehow get the idea that the wrath of God is just an Old Testament reality, we are considering today Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18 reveals, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In the very next chapter, Romans chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. As it was the case in the Old Testament, it is still the case in the New Testament, that God wants His people to believe Him. John chapter 3 and verse number 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. God gets angry when we ignore His evident truths. But God also gets angry when He is not honored as God or His glory is given away. Romans chapter 1, we look at verses 21 to 23. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of God, the incorruptible God, for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Have you ever done a service for someone and had them ignore it? Maybe it was something as simple as opening the door for them, or picking up a book that was dropped. Maybe it was something as simple as them not acknowledging a gift that was given to them. We as parents get on to our children because we have a habit of thanking people for the smallest of things. When our children do not show gratitude for things done for them, we get on to them. How much more so with God? God gives everything. James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning or shifting shadow. Idolatry and unfaithfulness are the central focus of this hot button issue. Once the knowledge of God has been rejected by man, the result is foolish speculations. This speculation trickles its way down even to the existence of man, his origin, man's salvation, man's destiny, and the end of the world. Even to the very character of God, man begins to speculate because he has rejected God and not honored Him as God. When man rejects the revelation which God has given of himself, he will believe anything and everything. How sad it is that man realizes that God does exist, but then man chooses to turn away from the true and living God to worship other gods. The knowledge of God makes man so uncomfortable in his sinful and rebellious state that man turns away from God and seeks a more comfortable God, little g. And when this occurs, man feels compelled to come up with some replacement for God. And he makes this replacement for God. He feels compelled then to worship that replacement. Idolatry, therefore, becomes a psychological necessity in the mind of one who has rejected God. Idolatry is indeed the evidence that man has rejected the truth of God. Idolatry and unfaithfulness to God makes God angry. But it's not just any kind of idolatry. Not just the kind of idolatry that makes a statue of a man or of a bird or some kind of cattle or beast. Rather, it's all kinds of idolatry. Anything that involves putting other things in first place in our life is idolatry. Such as the message of Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. When idolatry enters into the heart and mind of man, the wrath of God waxes hot, burns against him, just as it did when they made the golden calf in Exodus 32 and verse 11. His wrath was spoken of time and again when the Israelites chose to leave the one true and living God and follow after other gods to serve and to worship them. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15. Again in chapter 31, verses 16 and 18. And the next chapter, chapter 32, verse 21. Judges chapter 2 and verse 12. Time and again. The Israelites transgressed the very covenant of God that He had made with them in going after other gods. Joshua 23 and verse 16. They followed in sin, but they also followed in sinning after others. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 18. They followed after Ahab, which led them in provoking the Lord God to the anger more than all the kings which were before him. 1 Kings 16, 33. It was Ahab's son, Ahaziah, in 1 Kings 22, 53, that led the people to sin. It was Ahaz in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 25. The sin of the people got so bad at one point that God had to tell His prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 16, do not pray for this people. His anger and His wrath was going to be poured out on the people because of the evil which they had done in disobeying and rebelling against God and worshiping false gods, being unfaithful to Him and His covenant with them. God gets angry when His evident truths are ignored. God gets angry when He is not honored as God or His glory is given away to others. And God gets angry when man suppresses the truth or heeds false teachings. Romans chapter 1, this time we look at verses 18 and 19. Verse 17 says that the righteousness of God is revealed in His Word. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Notice here that men suppress the truth. They actively engage in covering up the truth. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 15 and 16. The Lord, the God of your fathers, sent word to them again and again by His messengers, because He had compassion on the people and on His dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised the words, and scoffed at the prophets, until the wrath of God against the people was against the people until there was no remedy. The foolish prophets in Ezekiel chapter 13 assured the people that God would not punish them. God only sends peace. Woe was pronounced upon them as God said that He would send His wrath and anger upon the people of disobedience. Being admonished to walk in love, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. In Amos chapter 1, we begin reading as Amos is preaching to the people. He's preaching about the pagans and he's preaching about the wickedness that they are a part of, and everyone is in agreement with Amos. Verse 1, Damascus is bad and God is going to destroy her. Verse 3, Gaza has sinned and will be burned with fire. Verse 6, Tyre will be punished for her evil. Verse 9, Edom will be shown no pity. Two other cities, Ammon in verse 11 and Moab verse 13. With each injunction, the Israelites set as righteous people saying, yes, Lord, oh yes, you have it right, they are wrong, they deserve to be punished. But then Amos turned to Israel and Judah, and all of a sudden, everyone stood convicted. Paul does the same thing in Romans. His purpose is not to say that the world is bad and that we are good. Rather, it is to show that all are bad. All are in need of a Savior to keep us from the righteous wrath of God. Before we conclude our thoughts this morning, I want you to consider a very important question. What is the greatest expression of the wrath of God? What is the greatest expression of the wrath of God? It might come as a surprise to some. It is not what God is doing to sinners today. What then is the greatest expression of the wrath of God? It is the cross. It was there that God's righteousness condemned Christ. God's wrath was poured out upon His own Son. Not because of His own disobedience, not because of the rebellion of Christ, not because Jesus' sin, not because of idolatry or unfaithfulness or false teaching that came from Him. It was because of the sins of us all. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Here's the point. The love of God is not a refuge from the wrath of God, unless you go through the cross. One cannot claim that God loves us, therefore He would never punish us. One cannot say or claim that God loves us, therefore He would never send one to hell. God's love is a refuge for those who come to Him by the way of the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. God is righteous. Every decision, every choice, every judgment He makes is perfect and right. His righteousness condemns us. But when we come to the cross, that same righteousness of God is what saves us, because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to us. God delights in mercy, steadfast, unchanging love. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Although Israel's sin brought captivity, God continued to love them. Hoshea, Joel, Jonah, and Nehemiah all speak of the one true and living God as a God of forgiveness, a God of grace, a God of compassion, one who is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, one who will not forsake His people. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. You see, the truth of the matter is that there's not a one of us who is perfect in keeping the will of God. But the good news is that we need not rely upon ourselves to be righteous. We need to rely upon God. And relying upon God, we do not have to experience the wrath and anger of God. God sent His Son to be the answer to His own righteous anger and wrath. Do you remember Romans chapter 5 verse number 9 from our introduction? It should be on the screen for you. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. If we are going to avoid the wrath of God that is to come, it will be done by our being justified by the blood of His Son. To avoid the just and righteous wrath of God, one must be justified by the blood of Christ. One does this by being obedient to God's plan for saving man. One must hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The good news is that we can avoid the wrath of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ by believing in God, believing in His Son, believing the gospel which has been revealed to us in the written Word, repenting of sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of past sins. But one must then live faithfully. Be faithful to God. For when we are unfaithful to God, we have the wrath of God awaiting us. The question for you this morning is, will you today do as those in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and turn to the God from idols to serve the living and true God, and wait for the Son from heaven, whom He has raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Wrath of God awaits those who are disobedient to God, who ignore His evident truths. To those who do not honor God as God, those who follow after self or follow after other idols, and the wrath of God awaits those who suppress the truth. If you are in need of coming to God this morning to be covered in the blood of His Son, you can avoid the wrath of God in the end. But you must come to Him through His Son, through the blood that was shed upon the cross. And you have the opportunity to do that even now as we stand and as we sing.